We've got 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins joining us live from Olympia.
Right. Good morning, Senator Hawkins. I hope you're well rested now, because a couple of weeks away from when you and the House members were all burning the midnight oil, trying to get bills passed at the last minute before they went to the other house. Now we're back into the committee portion, and so hopefully you're well rested by now. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I wouldn't characterize it as well rested, but maybe less sleep deprived.
Okay. All right. Now, we've got stuff to go to. I know you wanted to talk about budgets and revenues and maybe what's happening with the complex, sports complex bill. Let's get to all that. First of all, I think you wanted to touch on the revenues, which you're saying the rate of increase, which comes out four times a year, is coming down. So go into that for us.
Yeah, and so every quarter, the state of Washington, and specifically the State Revenue Forecast Council, releases projected revenue that the state of Washington is expected to receive. And there's a mix of revenues in our state, most of which is sales tax, but there's also the business and occupation tax and other revenues that we receive. And most recently, just earlier in the week, the state revenue forecast released their updated prediction, and it shows, in short, $800 million less revenue coming into the state of Washington over the next 4 years. They also cited rising interest rates. They expect the state of Washington economy to slow and purchases to diminish. And when purchases diminish, since we receive a lot of revenue through the sales tax in our state, we are expected to see less revenue.
I think one thing I need to we're talking about $800 million less over 4 years. To put that in perspective, what is the overall budget of the state? That might let people know what it is.
Yeah. So the overall budget in the state for the operating budget is 70, likely this budget cycle is going to be $70 billion, 70.
Okay.
So to lose almost $1 billion out of $70 billion, actually over the 4 years, it's double that. So it gives you a sense of $140 billion, and we're losing $1 billion. But what it is it's an indicator of what the next several years could be. So for example, since 2013, the state of Washington has been experiencing rather significant revenue and economic growth. So over the last several budget cycles, nearly 10%, 13%, 18%, 15%. In the last biennium, 20% growth in our revenues. And now, with this forecast, expected growth for the 2023 through 2025 budget cycle is expected to only be 2.4%. So we're still growing, but when you've been growing at a rate of 10, 15, 18, 20% budget cycle after budget cycle, and now we're expected to experience only a growth of 2.4%, and you have the inflationary factors nationwide, that is sort of a red flag. And so I think the budgets that will ultimately be approved will sort of reflect a slowdown at potentially of our state economy.
Well, you know, I'm curious about that. Given that there's a red flag, growth has slowed way down, and of course you're talking about inflation, what could happen? We could obviously go in and it could go negative and could go there very quickly the way it's fallen here lately. So what do we have in reserve in this state?
Yeah, and that's part of what we need to make sure we do with this budget, is that we don't spend to the edge. During those previous times, the previous budgets have spent to the edge. We carry approximately a 5 to 6% reserve in our state budget, and that is what I believe the Senate proposal will include. We also have a rainy day fund. So when you... And the state doesn't always spend all of the money that is budgeted, and that's the case for school districts and cities, too. You budget to spend, but there's usually some remaining that you can carry forward to the next budget cycle. But all in all, I think we need to be more cautious about our spending for the next 2 and 4 years. And that I believe, a more healthy reserve going into a period of slower growth, per se, I think will provide more of us comfort. Because if our revenues do slow down, and again, these are just projections, and that's what a budget is a projection of your revenues and estimated expenditures. But if things do appear to be flattening out and slowing down, I think it would be very prudent to carry a more healthy reserve going into the next 2, 4, or potentially 6 or 8 years.
Would that be more than 6%?
Yes, I would prefer even more than that. You know, when I was on the school board at Eastmont, I was pushing for 6 to 8%. And there's always a tension between how much you keep in reserves versus what the needs are in the state. I mean, certainly holding back more in reserves means you can't make investments over the next 2-year period that you may want to make as a state. But with our state economy so dependent upon sales tax revenue, and if purchases do slow down nationwide and in our state, then we will see a dip in revenue. And the best way to smooth out those peaks and valleys of the roller coaster ride that is potentially our state revenues is to have a healthy reserve to kind of help us shoulder those slower years and get through whatever economic slowdown may exist. And maybe it won't materialize. But, and again, the state revenue is still expected to grow.
Yeah.
But it's growing at a projected to grow at a much, much slower rate. And,
Okay.
And that will change things.
Maybe who knows what's going to happen. Anyway, we want to talk about budgets, and there are a bunch of them coming up, the capital, the transportation, the overall, and you wanted to talk about that, I know, as well.
Yeah, so we have released the Senate proposed capital budget. The Senate is expected to vote on the capital budget this Friday. The House will also propose a capital budget, and this is what happens when it's budget season over here. The governor released proposed budgets back in December, and now it's time for the legislature, the House and the Senate, to unveil their budget proposals. And we have three budgets, the capital budget, the operating budget, and the transportation budget. And over the next couple weeks, all of those budget proposals, House and Senate, will be made public. And then it's up to those chambers to approve their budget proposals, and to the extent that the budget proposals differ between the House and the Senate, then those differences need to be ironed out, and then ultimately the House and the Senate need to agree on the same budget for all three budgets in order for those budgets to go to the governor. So the capital budget will be approved likely this Friday. The Senate operating budget proposal, which I do expect to be in the neighborhood of $70 billion, will likely be made public today. And then the Senate transportation proposal probably next week or into early April.
Okay, I've got a quick question about all that. Are they increasing, and by how much? If they're increasing, you can start with the big one, the $70 billion one.
Yeah, so we do expect the operating budget to reflect an increase. We do have population growth. We have other factors. The current 2021 to 2023 operating budget is approximately $64 billion. And with the revenue growth that we have experienced in the prior biennium, and the carry forward from the prior year, I expect that budget to be in the neighborhood of $69 to $70 billion. But again, I would prefer saving more and maybe not spending as much to be able to have more of a healthy reserve. We believe that the Senate proposed operating budget will be much more conservative and reasonable and fiscally prudent than what perhaps the House Democrats are likely to propose. And so hopefully the Senate proposal will be one that is more reflective in the final budget, but that remains to be seen. The capital budget is going to be slightly less than prior years, just because on the capital side, last budget cycle, the capital budget received substantial funding in federal funds from President Biden's infrastructure bill that was approved a couple years ago. Those were sort of one-time dollars that flowed through our state capital budget last cycle. Those aren't going to be available this cycle. On the transportation budget side, we did pass the Move Ahead Washington transportation package last legislative session. It was a 16-year plan, nearly a $17 billion investment of transportation. And the big issue right now with the transportation budget is making sure all of those $17 billion of projects over the 16-year period get scheduled out accordingly throughout the 16 years. Oh. And a lot of legislators want certain projects sooner rather than later, and I'm one of them, and yeah. So that's the big issue there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We're talking about everything at a 30,000-foot level when we're talking about the big numbers here, but then we're talking about individual legislators want their projects done, and of course that brings us to one major one that's high profile here, right?
Right. Confluence Parkway. So in last year's Move Ahead Washington transportation package, we were able to secure an $85 million placeholder for Confluence Parkway. That $85 million was intended to match the federal dollars that Congresswoman Kim Schreier and Mayor Koontz and everybody else worked on. And we did receive that federal grant, and we did get $85 million as a placeholder that Confluence Parkway would qualify for. However, all of the projects in that 2022 Move Ahead Washington transportation package were not scheduled out specifically in each of the next 8 budget cycles. And so now we're trying to get Confluence Parkway scheduled and get the dollars apportioned at the right time to fully maximize the federal grant. And so, for example, the Confluence Parkway project, the $85 million actually needs to be split over 3 budget cycles, $28 million in 2023 through 2025, $47 million in 2025 through 2027, and then the last $10 million would be during the 2027 to 2029 transportation budget cycle. So if you think about it, and this is the case with transportation projects, is the projects don't just get built in a 2-year period when we budget. And so the dollars need to be sort of phased over what is expected to be the construction cycle. And so if all goes well, the Confluence Parkway will receive its funding in this final transportation budget, and it will begin in 2023. And the funding will end in 2029.
What does that mean as far as getting the actual project built in real time?
Oh, that would be fantastic. And in fact, that schedule is what the State Department of Transportation is recommending. And of course, I've been in close contact with Mayor Koontz and others about it. But being able to get the certainty on the funding at the time we need it for the city of Wenatchee, and then to fully combine it with the federal dollars, would allow the city of Wenatchee to sort of do one bid and contract for the project. And it would create a lot of certainty and a lot of efficiency, and it would it'd be very good. And then there's less chance of delays or cost overruns and things like that. So I'm very eager to get this funding secured in the schedule that we needed over the next 6 years.
Okay, we're out of time.
9 years.
We're out of time here, but just quickly, you feel pretty confident about that?
I do.
Okay.
But I'm hesitant to say that just because, I'm just in the Senate as well. So ultimately, for all of these budgets and all of these different things, the governor, the Senate, and the House need to all agree in order for these things to become law. The governor's proposed budget for Conflux Parkway did align with what we needed. I'm hoping the Senate will as well, and at that point, I will feel confident, regardless of what the House transportation budget proposed. But if we can get two of the three budgets aligned for Conflux Parkway, I will feel really good, and hopefully we can get all three of the budgets aligned for Conflux Parkway. Many of the Move Ahead Washington transportation package projects are being delayed and pushed out many years, and we can't have that happen with Conflux Parkway. And one of the main selling points with that is, hey, we have to get the Conflux Parkway state funding at the time we need it so that we can maximize the federal grants that we've already been awarded.
Right. Matching all that stuff up. I can tell that's going to be interesting. Fingers are crossed on that for pretty much everybody here. And great work on getting that bill moving forward. So, Senator Brad Hawkins joining us every other week here on the Legislative Hotline. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks as we move closer towards the end of the session here. Thanks for joining us this morning, Senator Hawkins.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jason and Chris. Always good to be with you.